Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Again, this is Apostle Johnny Floyd. I am grateful for tonight and this great opportunity to share some things with you tonight. It is some historical things that are happening, and when I say historical, I don't mean that a present day happening today, but things that we're remembering and things that are extremely important that we should not miss, or neither should we haphazardly just take for granted. And so, you know, with that being said, before I get into what we're going to talk about tonight, always we want to go into prayer. I think tonight is going to be significant, and I want everybody listening in to take notes, because there are going to be some things released tonight, and I want you to be able to go back and grab those things and feast on them, think about them, pray about them, because they're going to be real for you. Pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. God, we appreciate you. Lord, we honor you tonight, Father. And God, in order for what we have to say to your people to resonate with them, God, we have to first have delivered it to you, and you have to approve it, Father. And once you approve it, Lord, whatever is said, God, they will receive. So, Lord, we're grateful tonight, God, for your grace, your mercy, your power. And, Lord, we want to be the vessel that you use tonight. And God, that as you use, Father, we're just not looking for pats on the back or that it was a good word or that you blessed me. Father, we're looking for some powerful results, Lord. We're looking for results behind actually what you have instructed that we do. I bless you tonight, Father, that every ear that is listening, Father, that have engaged this process tonight, be more than just blessed from words or emotions or feeling. Father, we're looking for results, oh God, tonight. In Jesus' name, Father, we declare your presence in your word. We pray. Amen. Well, dear heart, I sent out some information, and hopefully you have gotten it. And if you didn't, my apologies. You will definitely have the opportunity to read as we go, because we're going to talk about communion. That is communing with God, commune with God. And and this may last longer than tonight and may go into next Thursday, but I really want you to grab a hold of this, because communing with God is powerful, it's meaningful, it's not emotions, you know, and it is and does bring results in what he declares in your life. And so we get to communion, and this is when people drink the wine or the grape juice, depends on where you are in your faith, and we eat a wafer or some bread. And we all are aware of the fact that the wine represents the blood of Jesus, and the bread represents his body. So we eat the bread and we drink the wine. But before we get to that, I want to show you the significance and what has caused this, because we are in a season of time that is called the Feast of the Passover. Now, the Passover feast started on the 8th, right? Now, according to the Jewish time clock, that means that once the sun sets, there's a new day. So when the sun begins to go down, it is the closing of one day and the setting of a new day. And I want you all to grab a hold of that, where we believe the new day starts at 12 o'clock at midnight, chronologically, a time clock. When you read the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, it references the evening and the morning of the first day. And so for that reason, they have always followed the clock in being that the day starts when the sun sets. Okay? And so that would mean that not yesterday, but actually Tuesday, when the sun set, the Jewish people started celebrating or begin that celebration of the feast of the Passover. And now I know I have some historians and some theologians that may be listening, so I want to be sure I cover some things just for the basis of those that may not have studied the way others have. And so the significance of communing with God from a natural standpoint was the only way that they could recognize the communing of God was that there was a deliverance that had to take place. I want y'all to really now go back biblically, and you can see this. If you go back to Exodus chapter number 12, the instructions are given now to the children of Israel. It is actually given to Moses, and so Moses gives the instructions to Aaron. Okay, we went over that somewhat last week. And so the instructions that Moses gives Aaron is that will show that where God was making a difference between the children of Israel and the Egyptians, he was also had warned Moses and told Moses that Pharaoh was going to speak this plague out of his mouth and that he had hardened his heart. But the whole purpose of this was that Pharaoh released God's people, because now we notice now the first instruction that God gave Moses, he said, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go that I might dwell with them in the wilderness, right? Which brings about, you know, something on a different day that we may get talk about, where some folks look at the wilderness as a bad thing, but that was the place that God wanted to dwell with his people. That wilderness place was that place that was away from Egyptian control, away from the Pharaoh, to where he could now dwell with his people. And a dwelling place was another name for the word tabernacle. Okay? It was another name for tabernacle. So now you can walk with me through this now. They were in a place where they could not dwell with God because they were in bondage. They couldn't dwell with him because they were locked up and enchained and slaved and working and but not for the building of what God had instructed them to be a part of, but they were working to build a man's kingdom. I want y'all to grab a hold of that now. They were not working to do anything that God had instructed them to do. They was actually engaged in building the Egyptian Pharaoh's kingdom. And so God gives these instructions to Moses, and Moses then goes back to Aaron. He tells them how they are to take a he lamb, turtle dove, or male goat, right, a domestic animal that was clean, a clean animal, meaning that it did not eat meat. And so this was the instructions that they were supposed to take the inward parts and put them away and bury them, but they would cook the meat. They would not eat the meat raw, but they would cook the meat. And so that they would be able to share that meat with neighbors or someone that was there. These instructions included that, you know, they would take the blood and pour it over the threshold, right, of their homes and their doorposts and their columns or whatnot. And so now this was done that they would be able to be freed and have the ability to go now and dwell with their God. It is imperative now that you grab a hold of this, you know, because some of us, before even we start talking about pandemic, have been a part of helping a man build his kingdom right? And when I said man, I mean mankind, to help them build his kingdom, and it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Y'all can take that and ride with it however you want to, but if God had a problem with it then, he would have a problem with it now. But before now, he could dwell with them, he had to free them. He had to deliver them. He wasn't going to dwell with them while they was in bondage. Do you not know God loves you enough that he wants to dwell with you, but he's not going to do it in a place, and he will be with you. The presence of God, him personally, he's everywhere. But he did not want to dwell with the children of Israel in Egypt. He could have, right? But he didn't. He sent someone that they would be delivered out of the hand. We're still talking about communing with God now. I just want to get you ready for what that is. And so now, as they followed these instructions, we all know the story of that God said that he was coming in on the wings of death. And that if he saw the blood, or when he see the blood, he would pass over. And so he tells the children of Israel, don't forget this day. Don't forget this day. He didn't say when not to forget it. He didn't say how not to forget it. He did not put a time clock on it. He said, don't forget this day. Remember the feast, because he set these feasts up. And if he wanted us to remember them, I want to engage this process now of how we get to taking communion. Because at that point, they ate the meat, and they took the blood and spread it. There was no drinking of blood, right? That was just they would take the blood and then and put it on the threshold of their homes. And this now became the protection or the guard or the guide or the power that would separate them from death. This is the first time that blood would be used to separate someone from death. Remember what I said now. If you're going to commune with God, he's out to deliver you. Communing with God brings about a deliverance. And so now, pay close attention to this now. Pay close attention to this. So, you know, this is the first time, again, I said before, that blood would stand between life and death. Because of the instructions now, blood would stand between life and death, because the life of the body is in the blood. The life of who you serve is in the spirit. And so the blood and the spirit now, or the oil, exists the same. These are representations of the power of God, all right? The blood, the spirit, and the oil. And so now it is imperative that there's an understanding about the blood. And so the feast of the Passover has been taking place up until the time period, and past that time period, that Jesus now is getting ready to go to the cross. And he prepares the feast for them during this time period. His feast was bread and wine. Now I want y'all to grab a hold of this now. His feast was bread and wine. The Last Supper was being prepared for his disciples because he was getting ready to deliver them. They had no idea where the deliverance would come from, but he was known as the Messiah or the Deliverer. But, you know, here again now, this feast takes place that Jesus prepares because he is a historian, he is a theologian, so to speak, of his own word, and he knows not to forget the feast. Oh, Lord, this is some good stuff. He's not going to forget a word that was written that positioned him, that the lamb now was getting ready to be slaughtered and slain. Him being the Lamb of God, They would beat and rip his body to shreds. But prior to him going through this, his Passover feast is prepared for the disciples. And notice now he's giving them instructions, because he tells them, "I go away to prepare a place for you," right? That when I return, that you will be there with me. That I want to come back and I want to take you there to this place. And so the person that captures this though in word is Paul. He does it in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, around the 23rd verse, and he then begins, and this is where I brung you up to this point now. Because the Passover feast that Jesus prepared for the disciples was bread and wine, and they drank from what is called a couplet. You know, it wasn't multiple cups like we do. And from pandemic areas in life, we are trying to separate ourselves completely, and so we wouldn't be drinking after one another. But they drank from one cup, and this cup had wine in it. And as they sucked, you know, he gave them instructions. You know, but the first thing they did was eat the bread, and so so as they ate the bread, he told them some things, and then they drank the wine, and he told them some things, and so then he goes through his process of actually representing what he had just given to them, because the real feast took place at that moment. They're still within the feast of the Passover. Jesus is now being captured. He's been beaten, and blood is leaving his body, and so it's being shed, and his body is being broken. You know, his body is being torn apart. He's beat with a cat of nine tails, and he's whipped, and not with the long ropes that we think the whip is. It was a stick. It was a stick that would not break, but long enough for them to handle and swing and hit you on your back, on your arms, on your legs, or what have you, and cause your skin to bust open. So he was beaten this way, and that's the brokenness of his body. And then blood comes and sheds all over the courtyard where they beat him at, and he shed blood now, and the blood is shed for us. And we now remember this. We remember this. I want y'all to grab a hold of this now, because, again, I'm not looking for the excitement of this season or time period. I'm looking for the results of this season and time period. And so we go to now the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11. And verse number 23, and it reads, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And so now this is a scripture that people read when they get ready to do communion. Right, and I want to rightly divide this because it hasn't been, you know, they really didn't talk about this the right way. Again, Jesus says, he said this, and when he had given thanks, he break it, and Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And so I want you to go back now to Moses and the children being free. God gives instructions, and as he gives these instructions were to be adhered to, because he was coming in on the wings of death, because God's total plan was to deliver his people, right? He was to deliver his people, and so there's a deliverance that has to come forth when you commune with God, not just eating of the bread and drinking of the wine. So verse number 25 says, "And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
For as often as ye eat or drink this bread and drink this, eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Right? Now, oftentimes when you read that piece right there, and we're about to get in the heart of my discussion, people said that if you wasn't living right, then, you wasn't supposed to take this. That wasn't what that meant. It meant that if you recognize the purpose of this and you understand the significance of what's going on, then you are to do this. If you don't, you do this unworthily. And sometimes people take communion not understanding the purpose of this thing, right? He says, so as oft as you do this in remembrance of me. And then say you have to do it the first of the month or first Sunday in the months of the year or the fifth Sunday. Then say you have to do all that. It says as often as you do this. You can take communion daily in your own house because that you're asking God and looking for him as you take on his body. That means you're taking all the strength that he has, not naturally, but supernaturally. You're taking on the healing virtue that's in his body because his body is not sick. Anytime I hear somebody say the body of Christ is sick or they need to change what they're doing, they don't understand the strength and the power that's in the body of Christ, right? Because I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about just any old group of people. I'm talking about the ones that God has selected that are in his body. Just because a person goes to church does not mean that they are in the body of Christ. Doesn't mean that. And because of their behavior and what they do, we said that what they do make the church look bad. No, you can never make Jesus look bad. You can never make Jesus' body look bad because his body was broken for you. In his body, there's healing. In his body, there's strength. In his body, there's discernment. Are y'all with me here? Because oftentimes we say things as if there's something going on in the body of Christ that just ain't right. That's not true. That's not true. You know, that the body of Christ is sick and we need to be delivered. That's not true. The body of Christ has already been delivered. You have to partake of his body and his blood to be delivered. Try to grab a hold of this now. I know it's going to mess up a whole lot of theologians and what they think and what they believe, you know. But there's nothing sick about the body of Christ. Never has been, never will be. Now, capture this now. That's his body broken for you. And then you have the blood, right, that's shed. And he said, often as you do this in remembrance of me. So he didn't tell them to stop at this point at any time. The two instructions are, if you remember back in Exodus, don't forget the feast. And then Jesus tells them at this particular feast, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And so there's some things that need to be adhered to as we are getting closer to or in the midst of the feast of the Passover. And so now listen to this now. I want you to grab hold of this because this goes a little bit further than you just reading. And remember what I said now, the communion brings about deliverance. The whole purpose of us communing with God is that we are delivered. There are things that come about us on a daily basis that we succumb to because we're not perfect and we're human, and we need deliverance from it. The power in communion is understanding the strength and the healing in his body. Are y'all listening to me? And the life that is in the blood. The strength that is in his body and the life that is in the blood. So listen now. We read that, and we read the book of 1 Corinthians and the 11th chapter. But I want you to grab a hold of something now, because if we are in the midst of the feast of the Passover, that means that something has been said or done that has put God's people in bondage. Now, rightfully so, probably in bondage because we did something that God told us not to do. And because of his word or his name's sake. And I'm going to be specific about this now. I'm not talking about the word that was written. I'm talking about the promise that he made. Because of his word is his promise, not this, not the Bible, right? Because he said some things to you that were not chronologically written or put in book form called the Bible. He said some things to you that is his word in your ear for your life. And it may be difficult right now to see what God promised you because of what's going on around you. It may not have anything to do with the pandemic, but it may be something else that was happening prior to that. It may be an illness that may have come upon you. It could be financial issues, a problem. It could be social issues, a problem. It could be relationship issues in your marriage or something. It could be some difficulty happening in what you have understood to be the ministry that God put you in. Whatever that situation is, because of the promise that God made you, he has to come and deliver you. But before he do that, he wants you to commune with him. I really want you all to hear this. Before God comes, and he's coming, but you have to not get ready, but be ready while he now fulfills his promise. Because he wants to dwell with you. He wants to dwell with you. And the process that he made available to you to dwell with him, in order for that to happen, you have to commune with him. Now, we're not talking about praising. We ain't talking about jumping and hollering and screaming and praising God. There's a difference between communing with God and praising God. Anybody can praise God. Everybody can't commune with God. Anybody can praise God. Communion is when God invites you to come into a specific place with him. And in that place, he breaks off a piece of himself. And he gives it to you to nurture you up in strength physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. Partaking of the body and the spiritualness in this situation, God now is able to strengthen you. And as you partake of his body, you know, he now sets up, if I could use this as an example, an IV from him to you. He transfuses his blood into you, that not only do you have strength and you heal, but you got life. It wasn't going to take me all night to get to this. So, oftentimes we forget God. And we've done so much that we've categorized God. We put God in these different categories and put him in the corner and put him on the shelf and to where we forget about him. And so someone may say, I go to church all the time. I don't forget about God. Yeah, going to church don't mean you know who God is. Everybody can clap their hands and praise God. There are three levels of relating to God. One is in the outer court. That's a praise. The other is the inner court. That's a worship. The final one is communing with God. That's the holies of holies. Commune with God. Praise, clap your hands and dance. We do a lot of that. We scream, we holler. Some of us run around the church and jump over the pews and stuff. And we dance like David danced. But then there comes a time that worship now, your workmanship towards God, is not you lifting your hands, but is doing the very thing that God had asked of you to do. When you worship in the Lord, he receives it because of your obedience. That means that he's giving you some instructions, and you follow those instructions. And as you follow those instructions, he wants to commune with you. He opens up another door that only a select few can go in. And once you enter into that door, it's now him giving you a piece of him. And you heard me say it. He breaks off a piece of himself and he gives it to you. He feeds it to you, and then he infuses his blood. So he's going to give you his strength of his body, the healing that's in his body. And then he's going to give you the life that's in the blood. So when you are sitting down and going through the ritual of taking communion, here we are in the feast of the Passover. The essence of this means this one thing, that God is positioning you to deliver you out of whatever it is, that he can dwell with you now. And when God dwells with you, that means the things that you have your hands on, he's blessing. Because your first priority has always been him. We say God first, but is he first? Going to church don't make him first. If a man or a woman can't hear from God, you can't obey him. So how would you know what was first if you can't hear God talk to you? And he wants to talk to you. You have to make yourself available that you can hear from him. He wants to talk to you. He has something that he wants to say to you. So we go through this ritual sometimes unknowingly, but I want you to be aware today that you taking communion says that God is ready to deliver you out of something. Means that whatever had you locked up and bound now no longer has the power, because the blood now has been shed. I want you all to grab a hold of that. I knew it wasn't going to be long tonight. Didn't plan on being long. I really had this piece here that I wanted to share. And as I shared this, importantly, you know, the thing that really blesses me out is that somewhere, somebody is communing with God. The sun is getting ready to go down, ladies and gentlemen. We're about to enter into a new day. We're about to take part of something that's real and something that's new. It ain't just about drinking grape juice or eating a cracker or drinking wine and eating a cracker. This is a representation that when you do this, you remember that deliverance came. That whatever situation that Pharaoh had God's people in, he couldn't hold them there. He would have to let them go. I say to you this evening, as you listen before the sun begins to set, wherever you're sitting in the United States of America, and I have folks that are in Ireland and people that are in other parts of the world, Sweden,
Italy that are listening in, and Europe that are listening in as well. When I say Europe, I mean Germany. You know, the Feast of the Passover has something to be celebrated. And if you understand the essence of it, that means that you cried out to God, I want to be delivered. And he now wants to dwell with you. He doesn't want you dwelling with him in bondage. He wants you dwelling with him free. So if finances have you in bondage, God wants you free. If illnesses, sicknesses, or disease have you in bondage, tonight God wants you free. If bad relationships, a disgruntled spouse, or bad marriage, God wants you free. Loss of job, God wants you free. How can he set you free? Just follow his instructions. Who would have thought killing a domesticated animal, clean animal, taking the inward parts and burying them, cooking the meat and putting the blood over the threshold would do anything for anybody? But it delivered them out of the hands of death. And Pharaoh told him, take your people, Moses, and go. Think about this now. Communion ain't about drinking wine and eating bread. It's a little deeper than that. This represents the day that God set you free. Now we get to the piece that I'm excited about tonight. Because if you're ready to commune with God, if you're ready to take on the feast, to eat of his body and to drink of his blood, deliverance will happen immediately. Immediately. If you're ready to let the Lord know, I need your strength. I need your healing. Eat of his body because it's blessed. Blessing means a good word has been spoken over something. So when you bless someone, it's not what you give them, it's the words you release over their life. And I'm blessing all of you because I'm releasing a word of deliverance over you. Not because of me, but because of God. He wants you delivered tonight, not tomorrow. You'll walk in your deliverance tomorrow. You'll feel your deliverance tomorrow. You'll experience your deliverance tomorrow. Now, to some, the actual fast, the Passover starts on Friday. To me, it started this right. The sun sets tonight. As the sun goes down, the Passover has begun. I'm going to start my communing tonight. Blood tonight. Body, bread tonight. Feasting with the God that I love, the God of Abraham, my Lord, my Savior, starts tonight. Now, yours can start tomorrow. But commune with God, not just by drinking and eating, or eating and drinking, not just that way, but take the bread. And I want you to imagine just for one moment that God has broken off a piece of himself, deity, strength, power. He has given you courage, counsel, might. He has infused his spirit in you just by eating of the bread. And then after you recognize that, you drink the blood. And now he gives you life in him in you everlasting. No sickness or disease. You have life. And because you've done this and you understood it, watch whatever had you bound to be loosed from you. No power, no strength, no more. Only whatever God has said. You will be delivered because communion brings about deliverance out of the hands of the enemy. Well, dear hearts, I know it won't take me long tonight. And I want us to keep in prayer the many people that are losing loved ones, those that are sick in the hospital that cannot commune tonight. I want you to remember those folks that may not understand what you understand, may not know what you know, and begin to pull them in closer. Commune with them. Bring them in on your level of understanding of what this is. Remember those people that are lost. Pray for them. You know, don't care who they are. Don't care what they do. Let's lift up prayer before God that they may be delivered, that they would hear from the Lord and be delivered from whatever has them bound. I believe tonight that if a person has a sickness unto death, that they can be delivered tonight. I just believe that. I believe that. You know, that's just where I am with that. And I believe tonight that if a person has a drug addiction, that if they commune with God tonight, he'll deliver them. Yeah, I believe that. I do. I do believe that. If I could walk in the hospital and set communion up for all the corona victims, I would, because they're discerning the Lord's death. And I believe God would deliver them. He would heal them, and they would walk out of there disease, virus free. I believe life is in the blood. I just believe that. It ain't nothing you can do to take that away from me. So as you pray tonight, keep those people in your hearts. You know, lift up their names if you know them. Pray for them and declare the will of the Lord over their life. So as I close tonight, just want you to pray with me if you could. We're going to close out, you know, and going to just respect and give folks that time that want to go and prepare communion. You know, that they can and that they have a true understanding of the body that was broken for them and the blood that was shed for them. This is the purpose of this, that you may be delivered. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, oh God. Lord, we appreciate you. God, there's some people going to commune. Some did it last night, Father. Some did it yesterday. Some did it last night at 12 o'clock. Some will do it today as the sun sets. Some will do it tonight at 12. Some will do it sometime tomorrow. God, as your people commune with you, as they come into a place that you have welcomed them in, Father, you have to give them an invitation, open up a door for them to come in. And for those that are entering into that place, the holies of holies, that you would now, Father, break off a piece of yourself, oh God, that is in that of your body that has your heart, your lungs, your brain, Father, your thoughts, oh God, and that you would infuse that into them, that they will begin to become a part of your character, Lord, that they would take on, God, who you are, Lord, and they would begin to see things differently, Father. They would walk away from present-day religion, oh God, and knowing just a form of godliness, Father, and denying the power thereof, God, but God, finding out the trueness of what's in you. And Lord, that they would not just eat, Father, but they would drink, oh Lord, partake in the life that's in the blood. The only time the blood has left a body, O God, and the oxygen never left it. It never dried up, Father. It never withered away, O God. It never crumbled, O God. It never crinkled up, Father. But it is still alive, O Lord, that it could now, Father, come from you to us. Lord, I thank you for your presence, O Lord. O God, because we commune tonight, Father, we declare that all sickness and disease has no place with you. We will be delivered, Father. Deliver your people, O God. We want to dwell with you. We desire, O God, to enter into that tabernacle. God, enter into that garden that you developed before, that we would sit and just talk with you. Hallelujah. We bless you tonight, O God. And Father, we lay your people before you. God, you know their names. As your people become and praying before you, O God, giving names, O Lord, you grab a hold of them. Let them name drop tonight, Father. Let them name drop tonight, O God, that you can grab each one of those names and deliver them. I bless you, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, again, I'm grateful. 45 minutes into this, 46 minutes. And I'm about to cut this off, but I want to leave something with you, you know, and not cut it off because the Lord told me to. There's more to this. There's more to this. And I would ask that you all begin to pull on God and begin to ask him what he needs from you and give that to him. Blessings to you all. Until next Thursday at 7 o'clock, we're still going to stay with the feast. But the next feast that comes up is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Because after the day of the Passover, which is Friday would represent the day of the Passover. The next day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because now they leave with power. God bless you all. Love you. Can't wait till next Thursday.